having citizens come to me and tell me that something didn't seem right. Something didn't seem right in our local city council elections. Something didn't seem right in our county from years ago to the 2020 election. And they wanted answers.
Another voter contacted the office after learning from the state's ballot tracking system that their ballot had been turned in by someone else. Election officials began comparing signatures and noted some of them appeared to be signed by the same person. They launched an investigation, but not before three of the stolen ballots had already been counted. Those ballots cannot be retrieved, and the votes will count, but the three voters will receive new ballots.
This shows the resiliency of our process here in Colorado, that if somebody tries to do nefarious things, it will be discovered through our processes.
And I said, you know what? If there's a there, there, we'll find it. And I've made that pledge to the citizens of Mesa County and all over Colorado that the people elected me, not the Secretary of State.
Passwords for Colorado's voting systems were posted online for anyone to see for months. If you knew where to look. Democratic Secretary of State Jenna Griswold's office apparently posted them online by accident. Griswold's office found out last Thursday and had not told the county clerks who actually run elections. Then the Colorado Republican Party went public today, demanding that Griswold secure those voting machines.
And it sounds like what you're saying is the only people investigating the actions of your office are your office. Unless I'm mistaken, is there an outside agency that is investigating what happened in your office?
We unfortunately had a civil servant upload a spreadsheet with some passwords to voting equipment. That is not the passwords needed to access the voting equipment. You need two sets of passwords. That is the full extent of it. We disclosed that immediately to federal agency CISA that has oversight of the nation's elections, and we've been working with them.
Those BIOS passwords, 670 of them, from 63 counties out of the 64 counties in Colorado, have been on the public website for the Secretary of State, which means they were out there for anybody to grab. She should be locked up. And they should throw away the key and let me loose.
Yeah, you need a prisoner swap.
Tina Peters, former Mesa County clerk in Colorado, was convicted in 2024 on seven counts, including felony charges for allowing unauthorized imaging of Dominion voting machines in 2021. She argued that her actions were intended to preserve election records before a state-mandated software update that would have erased them. Believing this was her duty to ensure transparency amid public concerns about the 2020 election, Peters acted without criminal intent and argued that the imaging did in fact reveal potential vulnerabilities in the voting system. She was then sentenced to 9 years in prison, a term that is clearly cruel and unusual and a violation of her Eighth Amendment rights, as her offense sought no personal gain. Federal prosecutors from the U.S. Department of Justice under the Trump administration filed a statement of interest in her federal habeas corpus petition, expressing reasonable concerns about the state trial judge's repeated inflammatory remarks.
You are no hero, you abused your position, and you're a charlatan who used and is still using your prior position in office to peddle a snake oil that's been proven to be junk time and time again. Your lies are well documented, and these convictions are serious.
President Trump has called her a political prisoner and demanded her release.
The Deputy Attorney General in the federal government is working, Todd Blanche, is asked the Bureau of Prisons to find any way they can legally to move Tina Peters out of Colorado State Prison and into federal prison. Now, that could signal several things. One, they're worried about her safety. Two, that she might become a witness in some future federal investigation. Therefore, having her in federal custody would be a part.
Peters remains incarcerated in a Colorado prison and housed among violent offenders despite being 70. She is reportedly in poor health after she previously underwent treatment for lung cancer, resulting in the partial removal of one of her lungs, which has left her with chronic respiratory vulnerabilities. Free Tina Peters today. Releasing her pending full review would correct a miscarriage of justice, protect whistleblower-like conduct by election officials, and help to restore public confidence in an election system tearing the nation apart. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-element formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The show. We had a lot of incredible truth tellers on this program this year. That includes someone we had in studio, Dr. Dawn Buckingham. She's a Texas land commissioner, and she broke an exclusive on this show about how the CCP was looking to purchase land here in Texas. She'll detail that for you because she blocked that. Plus, we were also joined by Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the interview actually went viral, and this was right before she announced that she was resigning, but it was one of the very first fractures between her and her relationship with President Donald Trump, and it was very unfortunate because the mainstream media misrepresented what she said, but she was talking about getting rid of the filibuster. It's a very important discussion, so let's jump straight to that right now. Welcome, Dr. Dawn Buckingham. It's great to have you here in person. For those at home right now who are unfamiliar, you are the Texas Land Commissioner, and you are one of our great fighters here in the state of Texas. So thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
It's great to be on with you today, and hello to all your listeners.
Yes, well, we're very excited to have you here because when I saw this tweet go out, I was very proud of you because the cartels are actively trying to get their drugs into our country. And one of the ways that they're doing it now that we have a secure border is to sneak it in through the tunnels. And you have done a great job at pushing back on that front. So give us the very latest on that.
Well, we are always looking out to see how we can better defend Texas and our entire country. And so you're exactly right. Under the Biden administration, when they could just walk across and do whatever they wanted, that was easy. But now they're having to go underground, so to speak. But it doesn't matter what crevice they crawl into, where they try and hide. We're going to find them. We're going to root them out. And we're going to stop their progress into this country in any way possible that we can.
Yeah, and I love that. You know, you guys actually posted a photo on your X page of what one of these kind of tunnels was looking like, the activity. This image that we have up on their screen right now, what exactly are we looking at here?
Well, we're just looking at where it makes an easy place for people to come and go. They come in adjacent to a ramshackled structure. Mm-hmm. They hide the entrance and the exit so that it can't be seen from aerial views. You know, the General Land Office is the mapping entity for the state. We also have aerial observation on our property. And we have hundreds of thousands of acres on the border. So once we knew that this was going to be a real possibility and is happening, then we're going to do everything we can and partner with whoever we can to be sure it stops.
Yeah, and it needs to stop. And we're glad that you're doing just that. Obviously, most Americans are familiar with the cartels bringing drugs into our country, but are there other things that they're trying to bring in?
You know, the cartels make way more money off the humans that they traffic than the drugs. And it is horrible what happens to these people. They are universally sex trafficked. They have to live in the corners. They are abused terribly. It is a terrible situation. And we want to end human trafficking. Modern day slavery is seeing the biggest increase it's ever seen. And it's completely unacceptable. And everyone should actually be outraged about it. And so we're going to continue to fight. Of course, the drugs are deadly. They kill our friends, our children, our friends' children. So many terrible things happening. So we want to stop that. But it's also the human trafficking that's really the bigger evil here.
Yeah, and I think that's the key point to this. You know, later in the show, we're actually going to play a clip of thankfully, there was a group of children and women who were rescued in Palm Beach County in Florida who are being trafficked and were being trafficked. And they just recently, the local sheriff's office did rescue those kids. But again, this is happening all over the country. We know that there's thousands of children missing, sadly, because the Biden regime just didn't care. They totally allowed these kids to get lost in the system, didn't validate where these kids were going to. And unfortunately, now the rest of us are praying for them. But we are also trying to advocate for them because there's I know the number 300,000 is floating out there, but DHS actually telling me that it's actually way north of that. They're thinking around 450,000 children were brought into this country over those 4 years. And so finding them is a top priority for this administration. And so it's great to see that you guys are also fighting back to make sure that these tunnels aren't popping up, of course, all across the state of Texas. But I want to talk about another fight that you guys have going on right now. You learned, according to your office, you learned that there was a foreign country possibly looking to purchase a plot of land here in Texas. Now, this area is very strategic because it's right along the Rio Grande. And it's very important that we know that this is land that possibly could have allowed any foreign country or whoever was purchasing it to bring things across the border. And so you guys stepped in and you purchased this land. You purchased over 350,000 acres. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's just fun. You know, if you want something done, you ask a mom and a surgeon. You know, busy ladies get things done, especially busy conservative ladies, as you know. We were speaking about it earlier, but it was a big piece of property. We had seen previously where Chinese nationals have purchased large pieces of property adjacent to Air Force bases, built a landing strip that would land any military jet on it, built a wind farm, tried to tie into a grid to try and potentially crash our grid, which we, of course, passed laws that made that individual not be able to tie into our grid. He's now having to sell that property, which is a win in and of itself. But then this 354,000 acres came on the market, and we realized that we had a Chinese national interested in it as well. And the only thing I could do since we have purchased the property, of course, the law has gone to effect disallowing Chinese nationals to buy property. But in this day, that was not the case. And so we stepped in, disrupted the sale, and purchased that property. And so now that property generates revenue for the school children of Texas instead of for China, being a strategic advantage. And on top of that, I think we're going to talk about this in a minute, there just might be some rare earth minerals on that property as well. And so we're doing lots of great things there.
Well, that's what I love about this, because it's a double loss for China, because China is doing its very best to capture the rare earth minerals industry itself, and President Trump also trying to get other countries involved so we have other resources that we could use instead of just China. I think that's really impressive that you guys have done just that. I like also the fact that this is now generating revenue for school children. Can we talk about that a little bit? Because that's something that needs to be celebrated.
Sure. The Permanent School Fund in Texas is the oldest and largest sovereign wealth fund for education in the entire country. It's almost $60 billion based on our state lands, because when Texas was a sovereign nation and joined the Union, we retained our unowned lands, unlike the territories that joined us states. And so that's 13 million acres today, makes me the largest mineral owner in the state. And we produce the majority of oil and gas, and that's generated about $6 billion from that fund over the last 2.5 years. And so we are just constantly looking at ways, one, to be good stewards of the land, two, to protect this Texas that we know and love, but three, being sure that we're generating revenue for the school children of Texas.
This is incredible, because I don't think most people even understand how important that is. But the fact that you guys were able to pull this away from possibly the CCP threats and then now make it into a stream of revenue income for school children here is highlighting what the government should be doing. We should be protecting the people while also protecting children, helping funding their education. So this is a slam dunk for everyone involved in all of this. I also know that you guys are doing an incredible job here in Texas at building the border wall as well. And this also plays into that angle as well. What is the update on Texas's efforts to continue to build the border wall?
Well, efforts continue. Of course, now we have a great partner in the federal government. We see that the border crossings are down to a trickle, if any at all. It is so exciting. And it just backs up that narrative of our entire time during the Biden administration, that is the federal policies that drive illegal immigration. And so with that change in Trump, we're super excited to have that partnership. Really glad to have Mike Banks where he is, Kristi Noem, all rock stars, so great. But yes, we're facilitating in any way we can. We're excited about getting reimbursed for the billions of dollars that Texas spent building the wall in the Biden administration's complete failure to protect our border. But where they were failing, Texas was going to step in. But we have to stay vigilant. You know, the administration could change again. That's always possible. We've seen it change over the last several decades. And so we have to be ready to fight. And we have to look for the ways that the cartels, when they get ingenious, when we think about new ways to bring drugs and trafficked individuals across our border, we need to put a stop to it every way we can.
Yeah, and I think it's really important because they are actively looking to do just that. And it's one of the biggest threats that we have right now in this country. And I'm thankful that you guys are taking this threat seriously, as well as President Trump, trying to stop that from happening. I want to talk now about rare earth minerals, because China is not our ally, folks. And I don't know how many times to say this, but they are trying to grip the rare earth mineral industry. Now, I know for when I used to work over at another media outlet, they'd always say, oh, it's such a boring topic. Don't go there, Brianna. But it's one of the most important ones, because if you have a cell phone, you need these minerals for you to have your phones. And so this is something that China has done an incredible job at kind of getting a good grasp on. But right now, President Trump understands just that. And he is trying his best to get us these same type of rare earth minerals from other countries. And he was doing that throughout when he was doing his tour in Asia, also making China commit as well to giving us more access to these things. But right here in Texas, I hear that there's a lot of rare earth minerals here that we could try to utilize. What is all of that about?
Well, we believe that we have the largest and most complete set of rare earth minerals not under China's control in the entire world. And getting back to why it's important to retain your surface rights to buy land, to retain minerals. A few decades ago, the General Land Office was actually trying to sell this property. They couldn't even sell it for minimal amounts of dollars an acre because it's in a super remote part of West Texas. And lo and behold, it turns out it's probably going to be the most valuable deposits of rare earth minerals in our entire country and going to be so critical for our independence. And you're exactly right on the cell phones. They have over 20 rare earth minerals in them, in each and every one. Some jets can't fly without some of these minerals. They are incredibly important. The problem is the processing. Wherever they're processed, they do create a Superfund site, which is an issue. And the only place to process them up until today was, of course, China. I was not going to send any of our ore over to China. So I put out the call a couple years ago and said, hey, you guys are going to have to figure out how to process it domestically. So USA Rare Earth Minerals is our tenant on our property. They're the ones developing those minerals. They have some exciting announcements and an amazing new lady CEO, of course, because she's getting the job done. But we're just really excited to have that partnership. We're very excited about two things, right? Energy independence, food independence, rare earth mineral independence is super important for our country, and we want to be a part of that. Two, we're again funding education for the school children of Texas. And three, we're setting the pace and putting China in their place, and we're going to continue to do it.
And I love to hear that. You know, there's a lot of pushback when it comes to digging up rare earth minerals here in the United States that a lot of the environmentalists have, and they try to say that it's not something that we should be digging up here. What are some of the environmental concerns that you hear of? And then I'll let you debunk all of that.
Oh my gosh, that's just so laughable.
I know.
Because in the same breath, they also talk about their solar panels and their windmills, which have tons and tons of rare earth minerals in them, and then leach those toxic minerals when they're in their native form in those, when you have a big hailstorm in Texas and it wrecks a bunch of solar panels. Guess where all that rare earth mineral toxic stuff goes down into the ground. So the environmentalists can kiss my, oh, sorry. But I'm kind of teasing, but anyway, we're just excited about it. We think it's going to be really important. We are making great strides on the processing, and we're looking at a lot of recycling efforts. A lot of the tailings of former mines have those rare earth minerals in them because they weren't a thing 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's kind of coming into its own now, and so we're looking at lots of recycling efforts with being as environmentally as responsible as we can, because of course we have to be good stewards of the environment, but we all need the rare earth minerals. I mean, if you've got 20 plus in your phone, if you've got however many in their solar panels that they love so much, jets need them to fly. We need them to basically do everything that we do every day. They're really important, and we need to process them here.
Yeah, and the thing is what I'll never understand their argument is they allow countries like China to control this industry, but China doesn't even care about any type of regulations. Here in the U.S., whether it's oil or this, I mean, we could regulate it to make it as clean as possible, and it's safer, and we're also keeping it here. And then they don't even want to talk about the transportation, bringing it into the United States, how much fuel that burns. I mean, it's an absolute joke with these fake go green activists. And so I think that's pretty laughable when they do make these claims. Before you go, though, I wanted to talk to you about your reelection, because I know you're up for reelection, obviously. Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, just endorsing you. Talk a little bit about that. Why are you looking forward to having another term?
Oh my gosh, I love this job. You know, most people have no idea what this job is. But the General Land Office, like I said, we've talked about, steward 13 million acres. We do everything coast. We're currently administering $14 billion in disaster recovery, another $1 billion in flood mitigation, really important right now after our July 4th floods. We do all kinds of veteran benefits. We run the Alamo. So literally every day I get to stick up for the Texas that I know and love. And we are in stride. We are going strong. And I'm super excited about our reelection. actually we're going to leave from here and go file for that re-election. So we're really excited about that. Super excited to have Senator Cruz's support. And it's just going to be fun.
Well, listen, I look forward to supporting you in your re-election campaign, of course. And I know Texans are as well, because you've done an incredible job thus far. So we look forward to this, just that. Dr. Buckingham, thank you for joining me today. You're an incredible woman, not only, you know, helping obviously with Texas as a whole, but a doctor as well. You keep yourself busy these days, and we appreciate just that.
God bless Texas. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the second hour of the program with one of my favorite members of Congress. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is joining us today. She is one of the very few members of Congress that we have that's bold enough to take on the fight regarding Antifa. She's not afraid to call out the group as a terrorist organization, and she has presented legislation back in January of this year to do just that, and she joins us now. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining the show. We're grateful to have you on today.
Thank you.
And, you know, we've been covering all day today because Nick Sorter is obviously a friend of ours. He has a show on this network. And we saw last night that he was not only assaulted, but then he was arrested after he responded to Antifa assaulting him. Your reaction to Portland police arresting Nick Sorter?
Well, it's absolutely outrageous. And I was watching the video clip that you played just before you brought me on before the commercial break, where it shows Nick actually taking the burning American flag and stomping it out. And this is an executive order that the president signed that you cannot burn the American flag. So it's extremely wrong that the Portland police arrested Nick Sorter instead of Antifa, who were the ones that were burning the American flag. And Brianna, what needs to happen is the Department of Justice needs to come in hard on the city of Portland with a major investigation into Nick Sorter, an independent journalist who was arrested. You talk about, that's something we see in communist countries. Journalists get arrested in communist countries and they allow anarchy and communism to reign. And Portland has done that. They have partnered with the National Lawyers Guild, which is responsible for bailing out Antifa over and over again as they have attacked the government and attacked law enforcement officers. And I do believe that Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization. And I have high expectation of Trump's Department of Justice of coming down hard on Portland and coming down hard on the police that arrested Nick Sorter.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because Nick Sorter is the second now independent journalist to be attacked in Portland over these last few nights, and they're becoming increasingly violent. But they claim, and I listen to the mainstream media too, just to hear what they're saying, but they claim that Antifa is not an actual organization and that the president's overstepping with that executive order, and that it actually, and they claim this, not me, that it infringes upon the First Amendment. What do you make of that argument?
Well, those are the lies that Antifa has told for years. I mean, you can trace this back well into President Trump's first administration. And even before that, we had Occupy Wall Street under President Obama. This is an organization that is well organized. They are well funded. And they are actually one of the biggest dangers in America. They truly are. They are against the government. They are anarchist. They are self-admitted communists. And they want to tear our country apart. So I believe they're domestic terrorists. I introduced legislation to label them as domestic terrorists. And I fully support President Trump and the Department of Justice in launching a massive investigation and prosecutions into Antifa. Whoever supports them, those are elected officials, and whoever funds them.
Yeah, and Congressman, I want to talk about the legislation that you presented earlier this year. You've brought forward the legislation to designate them as a terrorist group. And I think that's really important that we do just that, because although President Trump did a great job at the executive order, if there's a Democrat that's in the next administration, they could just wipe that out and start from scratch again. Where does your legislation currently stand right now in the House?
Well, Brianna, you're bringing up something extremely important. Everything that President Trump is doing is temporary right now because Congress is not making it law. And this is a frustration of mine and an argument I'm having with our leadership in Congress, as well as some of those that actually serve in the White House. I believe that Congress's role in passing legislation, passing executive orders, passing bills is so critically important because we need that legislation to make it to the president's desk and signed into law. This includes everything from my legislation to make Antifa a domestic terrorist group, my legislation, Protect Children's Innocence Act, to make it a felony to transition children, as well as even government funding. We need to be passing Republican appropriation bills, and the Senate can get it through to the president's desk by using the nuclear option. They can use the nuclear option on any piece of legislation, overriding the 60-vote rule and helping legislation get to President Trump's desk to make it a law. Here's what's important for everyone to understand. Everything you voted for going forward is temporary right now until Congress uses its constitutional power and learns how to govern and learns how to actually use power like the Democrats have. And we've seen them do it over and over again. So I support President Trump. I campaigned for him very hard, but I am frustrated at the fact that we aren't passing bills to make his policies permanent.
Yeah, yeah. And we're all very frustrated with that because the last time I spoke with Johnson's office, unfortunately, I think the number was around a dozen of these bills that were going to be put forward. But I mean, President Trump is well over 200 executive orders now. And to laminate his time in the White House, we need to be pushing forward and making sure that this is a top priority, especially that. Before you go, though, I do want to ask you, obviously, about the government shutdowns that are going on right now. We heard from the White House yesterday, and we've heard from them all week in regards to layoffs. I want to play this quick clip for you and then get your reaction on the other side.
The government shutdown could mean a federal program that provides food assistance to low-income mothers and children could run out of money in days.
When would these layoffs begin?
2 days, imminent, very soon. You will expect more announcements right now.
Is it just not clear, or are you waiting?
It's not unclear. All of those things are very synonymous with one another. These rifts are unfortunately going to happen very soon.
All right. So obviously that's the press secretary talking about the layoffs. Where do you stand on these layoffs? Because we know that Congress is still being paid. Other employees, federal employees, are not so lucky. Where do you stand on that issue?
I just posted about it this morning, and I'm so thankful that you brought this up. Here's the situation as I see it. We passed a CR, which is something I did not want to vote for. The CR is a Biden-Schumer budget. I am largely opposed to CRs. I am extremely vocal about it in my conference. And I want Republicans in the House and the Senate to do the job the American people gave us. We need to be passing our own appropriations. That is extremely important. And that is the bill that we need to send to the president's desk. So right now, this shutdown is a big political fight and drama, but it doesn't have to be happening. The Senate can use the nuclear option and override the 60-vote rule. They can pass the CR with a simple majority. And the reason why that is important to do is because just the clip that you just showed about WIC, these are single moms that, you know, people have hit hard times over the past 4 years because of inflation, and the cost of living is extremely high right now. And so I don't think that these vulnerable Americans should pay the price because of politics in Washington, D.C. I believe that soon and the Republican senators need to actually grow some courage and a spine. They need to use the nuclear option, override the Democrats who want to fund health care for illegals, which is absolutely absurd, and we will not do it. And they need to reopen the government. And then Congress needs to get back to its constitutional duty, and that is to pass our Republican appropriation bills, which, again, when they go to the Senate, soon can use the nuclear option, override the 60-vote rule, and pass with a Republican majority of senators. And the reason why it's so important to do this, Brianna, is because we aren't at a point of bipartisanship anymore in this country. And it has been proven over and over again. Republican and Democrats can't work together, don't work together, and refuse to work together. And that is a fact of where we are in America. So why would they sit there and banter back and forth and try to get 7 Democrat votes when we don't need them in the first place? And what is needed is bold action in the Senate, and the Republicans have the power to do that.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And we hope they use that because it's long overdue. Congresswoman, we want to thank you for your time. We appreciate you joining us today. So thank you for that.
My fellow InfoWarriors, we are having right now in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction. They're either saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever. It works incredibly. This is a product that I came out with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So do the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Walk on over here, folks. Hopefully, we'll have some peace going on very soon between Russia and Ukraine. We're still following that story, obviously. Told you. The details are still being worked out by the White House, but according to one White House official, Ukraine has agreed to President Trump's peace plan, watching as it continues to develop. Of course, Russia has not confirmed whether or not they agree to it. There were some things that appears might have been omitted from the Ukrainian side of all of this. Likely means that Russia won't accept, but we're keeping our eye on that. But as things develop, we'll bring you the very latest. That statement coming moments ago from the White House in regards to all of it, just
re-echoing that the fact that, you know, they're still in talks between Russia and Ukraine and the United States to finalize this agreement. So we'll keep all eyes on that. But I want to make sure we see everything in regards to COVID. This is one of the things that many of you at home still want answers to, and it's in regards to the vaccines. And there's a brand new poll that was just recently released by our good friends over at Rasmussen Reports. They're specifically asking Americans if they've had any side effects regarding the vaccine, if they've taken the vaccine, obviously. And millions of Americans did, in fact, experience vaccine side effects. I hate saying the word vaccines because obviously didn't actually do what vaccines are supposed to do. So we'll just say jabs for now. But 60% of those vaccinated adults reported no side effects when Rasmussen Reports asked them. However, 26% say they had minor side effects, while 10% reported a major side effect from the jabs. Joining me to discuss and break down this poll, my good old friend, Mr. Mark Mitchell, who's been very busy these days, taking meetings at the White House, and then he's blessed us with his presence today on this show, so we're thankful for that. Mark, it's good to see that the White House brought you in. You are the only one who, especially because it's just Rasmussen Reports, done an incredible job at mapping out elections, and the only pollsters that have been truthful when it comes to predicting how the outcomes of these elections are going to pan out. So I'm excited to see if the White House brought you in on all of this. I guess I'll get your first few minutes of how it was hanging out at the White House, what happened there, and then we can talk about this poll later. Spill the tape, Mark.
I don't know what tea there is to spill. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. It was great to go there, but it's probably the only time. Everybody's going to say, look, you see, here's my confirmation bias. Rasmussen Reports is a Republican pollster. And no, we're independent. And I think the way to look at us and why we went to Washington, D.C., is that we're kind of like the lobbyist for the voters, because every industry, every country has lobbyists, but really kind of the voters don't. Even the think tanks now have kind of been weaponized against these people. So when Rasmussen's going to the White House, it really is because the White House was interested in what Americans think. And I think we all, over the last couple of weeks, have kind of been feeling like the White House has been out of sync with where people are right now. And I can understand why. I mean, politics is changing really, really, really rapidly. And if you go down and talk to people, I went to the RNC. I spoke at another conservative organization, the Conservative Partnership Institute. Is that they're really confused about the reality that voters under 40 could vote for Donald Trump one year and then the very next year vote for a socialist. And I'm trying to help them see that. And it's because finally, this system has systemed too much. It's gotten to the point where the music has stopped and people are frustrated with the current state of America. And Donald Trump knows this because on the campaign, he was talking about the American dream and bringing back a golden age. Well, if you're going to bring back a golden age, that requires a lot of really drastic actions. And we've seen a lot out of the Trump administration. We haven't really seen anything out of the Republican Party. So the message was basically like, listen, Trump's numbers are okay, but you're going to lose next year unless something very drastic happens. And in my opinion, what that drastic thing is that the right needs to figure out how to address the growing socialist elephant in the room. And that doesn't mean to clutch pearls and point at it and call it names. It means to offer an alternative. And unfortunately, I don't think that's really possible with the Republican Party in D.C. And I hate to be reductive, but in my opinion, it feels like basically the Democrat Party is the party of big government and also businesses. And the Republican Party is the party of big businesses and also government. And you know, people want a party of the people. That's all they're asking for. And what you hear is like, well, you know, the youth just aren't smart enough to realize that it's their fault that the economy sucks for them. No, it's because their entire future has been sold down the river by both parties. And in my opinion, the party that acknowledges that and has a real fix will win for a generation. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like the Republicans are very motivated by that that possibility. But I think, you know, the COVID polling is a really good example because, you know, as Paul Harvey used to say, there's the rest of the story. And so you could say, well, look, Rasmussen polled on the vaccines, and it says that 36% of people that took them had side effects, 10% major. Okay, well, I assumed that. Well, no, everybody in Washington, D.C. is covering their eyes and ears and doesn't want to hear that because pharma is not going to back their campaigns if they go after the companies for lying about these vaccines and their safety record. And every single person in the polling industry ignored this. Nobody asked this question. Basically, three polls have been conducted about vaccine side effects. And we polled on all this other stuff, too, as you know, about it killing people. A lot of people think the vaccine killed people. Half of America, 56% of the electorate, says that it's likely the vaccines are causing a significant number of unexplained deaths. But Rich Barris and Rasmussen Reports and Rasmussen Reports, those are the only three polls that were ever conducted about vaccine side effect. Nobody from a think tank, nobody from the Democrat Party, nobody from the Republican Party, literally nobody. And we did it out of our own bank account for the people. And it's horrifying. And guess what happened? Like, Rich Barris had clients pull. We got treated like, you know, we spent years wandering in the wilderness, essentially. Everybody ignoring us and attacking us. Our advertising revenue went down significantly. They assigned fact checkers to us. They literally put, I mean, we've been put on ADL pages and stuff like that. Like, people did not like this. We were on the Global Engagement Center's list of top misinformation spreaders on Twitter just for asking a question, just for asking these questions. And everybody says, well, no, you know, Rasmussen, oh, it's a bias or blah, blah, blah. It would, like, prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. Take a couple $1,000, go to a poll and say, no, look, really, the vaccine is safe. Everybody says there's no side effects. They're not going to, and we all know why. So, again, the Republican Party, the party of big businesses and also the government, is not going to go after Pfizer. And so if they're not going after Pfizer, are they going to go after the corporatism, the corporate welfare, the concentration of power? Are they going to go after the way that, like, investment companies are helping drive up the cost of housing, which is a really big problem for voters under 40? No, they're just going to say, oh, voters under 40, they're stupid. They haven't been taught about how great conservatism is. Even though, like, the Republicans, like, aren't running on that. They're not running on restoring civic values in the education. So, I'm just, like, getting frustrated. You got me all spun up about. And again, the reception was very good at the White House. And there are people there that know this. I talked to Susie Wiles and JD. They are trying to make a change. And I think we can see that there have been some message changes out of the White House. But in my opinion, desperate times call for desperate measures. In 2016, what we saw is that Trump did very well being Trump. There was a cult of personality. Everybody liked that he was chaotic, and everybody was really impressed that he was racking up accomplishments. But we need a systemic answer for the problems in this country now. This isn't a cult of personality anymore. It's a cult of, like, need, of desperation. And so, again, they've done a lot of stuff. But to come out and say, well, here is the problem affecting America. The Republican Party sees you. We understand your complaints because this problem is causing your complaints. And then saying everything we are doing is going after this problem. You know, obviously, Donald Trump was elected in part because people were upset with things like Ukraine and the forever wars, right? And it's great that he's bringing peace, but my advice would be to just get Ukraine out of the news as fast as possible, or explain how, like, Washington, D.C. and the corporatist system and NATO and all of these forces have been drawing the energy of the government away from solving the people's issues. We're getting this done for you Americans. This isn't about helping Ukraine gain lost territory. It's about solving the problems of Americans. It has to be single-threaded on that. Because, unfortunately, the Democrats will win on a socialist vibe. They will win. You know, socialism actually sounds pretty good. People don't really care about history when they can't buy a house.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to bring up too, Mark, because the reality is we have the White House apparently pushing for 50-year mortgages, which is so insane for most average Americans to think about that, young people to think about that. I mean, that means you're never going to own your home. You're just going to keep, you know, continuing to pay into this. And that's just, I guess, the Band-Aid to fix what's going on right now, how the affordability crisis has gotten so far out of hand. Now, I get it, right? Because what are they going to do if they bring down the home cost pricing on all of these homes? The boomers are going to get a massive loss. But the reality of it is most average Americans who are in their 20s and 30s can't afford a home right now. The pricing has become so outrageous. And it's boomed over the last few years.
Yeah.
And so,
right,
I think most people, especially my age, I mean, we're trying our best to be able to stay afloat. But the reality of it is we don't have much. We don't have much of a reason these days to vote for Republicans when it comes to this, because Democrats are saying, hey, listen, we understand the affordability issue here. You have Zoe Rand-Mondoni who's coming into the White House and saying, I want to work on affordability with the president.
But his idea of affordability is communism. And it's not the actual way that we believe it. But if you're so desperate, you know, I lived in New York. I was miserable. I was working two jobs, 6-7 days a week. And I was barely able to stay afloat. And I lived in a basement apartment. It was so bad for me. And I understand that this was like an effort to get out of all of this. But I think a lot of people are at a dead end. And they live in that type of situation, especially in big cities like New York. And they're like, well, this is it for me. I need to vote for someone who cares about these issues. And there's only one person speaking to that. And I think that's why, you know, your other poll here, 39% of Americans or the voters you've polled say the U.S. is headed in the right direction. I mean, 39% isn't very good. And I believe you guys have had higher numbers.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the big news, too, is the way in which that has collapsed among the younger voters. Yeah. And so what was weird in that I didn't really notice any sensitivity to this at all when I went to Washington, D.C., is that Donald Trump had a 60% approval rating with voters under 40. That is nutso. That should have been like the catalyst of a major political reorganization in the Republican Party. We did something right for once. Like, what was it? We need to do more of that. And so the under 40 approval rating of Trump went from 60 to 35%. It was 35 to 40% on election day, just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so it's not hatred, but they lost the zeal of those people. I think they thought they were getting something. And of course, it was the system being dismantled by DOGE. And then the Right Direction numbers were very similar to that. Donald Trump set Right Direction polling records. We came on InfoWars and talked about that. Mm-hmm. It was wild. We had 37 weeks of consecutive Right Direction polling above 40%. And the prior record was 7 weeks. And that was also during the Trump administration. It was when the labor market was starting to heat up right before COVID. But then the other thing is that I just looked it up. The 18 to 39 year old Right Direction number is the lowest right now. It's 34%. It was 48%. I think we had 50. I think we had over 50 among voters under 40 back in the spring, because they said, you know what, Trump is finally going to drain the swamp. He's finally going to hold these corporations accountable and get rid of all the waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. And I think it was like basically a soft rug pull. His numbers have just gone down since then. And so for 18 to 40-year-olds, going from the highest Right Direction number to the lowest Right Direction number, it kind of explains why they're trying, you know, Mamdani. Mamdani's got a 62% favorability rating among the Zoomers right now. And again, they don't want to hear about socialism. They don't care about this. And it's really weird to me is, like, as a political pollster, what I should be doing is testing policy responses. Like, hey, we're going to write a new bill. The Republicans want to change the way the country works. We're going to pass new good legislation. And we have two components of this. And is this one better or is this one better? And which one's going to win? And which one's going to be better for the people? And instead, I live in this clown world where I go on YouTube and your average like talking head knows more about politics than every single Republican I met in Washington, D.C. And it's not a joke. I just pinned on my Twitter account. People can go check it right now, at Honest Pollster. Mm-hmm. Shoe on head, she's one of the people that I follow as a weather vane about where the youth are at. She's not a Republican. She's not a Democrat. And she just wrote a brutal takedown of the Republican Party and why the youth are going to socialists now. And she's pretty brutal about the Democrat Party, too. But it basically comes down to that, like, their problems are not being solved right now. And I would, like, plaster this in every think tank in Washington, D.C. They just have no idea. Like, literally no idea. Walk into the halls of the RNC and they're like, we have the right platform. We're not changing one iota because it's the right one. We just need to vote harder. Well, you guys are going to lose. And I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so funny that you actually bring that up, because I do have a video from her, clip 7. We could actually play that. I was actually planning on playing a video from her earlier today because I found her content. My first time finding it. And I'm surprised because she's got a massive audience and she's actually hilarious. But she's calling out both Pam Bondi in this one and Israel. Take a listen.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
Vote for us. We'll release the Epstein files and finally drain the swamp. Awesome. Finally, justice. Here comes the Epstein files phase 1. We got all your favorite celebs here. Don't you think that's a little tacky? I mean, like, this is an international child trap. The Epstein files are on my desk. Oh, that's great. That's great. That's what we've been waiting for. Well? Oh, they don't exist. Wait, what? Yeah, the Epstein files don't exist. They're a Democrat hoax. But you just said, hey, what the fuck? That's my wallet. Sorry. Israel needs new weapons. Bye. Psst. What do you want, Democrat?
Vote for us.
Why? What do you have to offer? Hey! That's my wallet again. What are you people doing? Sorry. Israel needs new weapons. Bye.
So she does a great job. If you don't follow her on X, I don't know how I didn't follow her sooner, but she's amazing. I'll just let you weigh in on this, Mark, because like I think, as you could see here, most Americans have had enough of money going over to Israel, other countries as well, rather than funding what we need funded here in the United States, and also, obviously, the BS nonsense that the AG continues to feed us.
Well, we're both probably going to get labeled anti-Semites now, just for pointing out the humor of the situation. Yeah. But the reason that you haven't heard about her, I mean, I followed her for other stuff. Like, she doesn't talk about politics, really. Mm. She goes after, like, the dating scene and, like, all these other things, that, you know, entertainment, I guess. She's done 3 or 4 videos on politics, but they're spot on. My point is that this is relatively reflective of the same kind of thing I hear out of other young influencers. And if you look at YouTube, I think it's a reflection of the fact that they are not conservative, but they are on the right. Like, there is something that is not leftist about these people, because YouTube also rebelled against the all the woke garbage and won the culture war back in the early 2000s, like during the Biden administration. And I think that's one of the reasons that Donald Trump won. And I don't even think people understand that at all. You know, because if you look, there was a groundswell of support for Joe Biden. We could say fraud, fraud, fraud. There was obviously a lot of fraud. But in the polling nationally, Joe Biden was still up between 1 and 12 points. I mean, the polls were all over the place. It was mass formation. It was a really tough election, right? But he did motivate millions of more people to go out and vote. And a lot of it was because people were afraid. They wanted a return to normalcy. They wanted some type of, like, order. Mm-hmm. And they found out in 9 months that Joe Biden was not the answer. I mean, it was, we talk about buyer's remorse. That's the biggest political example ever. He went from the most votes in history to being booed and chanted at in every single football stadium around the country in just 9 months. And around that time, people rebelled against the LGBT nonsense. People rebelled against all of the message and media. And the youth zeitgeist became this, in my opinion, rebellion against the global homo system, of which the Republican Party is unfortunately a part. Well, who is not a part of it is Donald Trump. And so his numbers, we had him down. If you look at the average of our November polling, we had Trump down 6 points. He was winning by 10 to 12 points in every matchup that we ran in 2021 and 2022. Everybody was just like, nope, I see the matrix now. Donald Trump's got to come in and just wreck that system. Yeah. And he kind of ran on that too. And they did their psyops and they got Kamala Harris to tighten the race quite a bit. And they threw a lot of billions. And those people could say, oh, well, the movie stars don't matter as much anymore. Well, they took a 10-point Trump win and made it a 1.5-point Trump win. And that was, you know, it was a close thing, closer than it should have been.
Yeah.
Because the mind games still work. But now here we are, and it would appear that the throne is comfortable. It would appear that Donald Trump is spending time around probably the wrong people in order to actually deliver on systemic change that America now needs. It's not an option anymore. Yeah. And, you know, the window's closing.
Yeah, Mark, well, we got a few more minutes left. I want to make sure we got to this because I think the American people are concerned. They can unify about one issue, and that's inflation. And you guys have a poll that highlights just that 81% of the American adults that you guys have polled are concerned about inflation. Now, this is very important because we get closer, obviously, to Thanksgiving just being a couple of days away. I know a lot of people are upset about the food costs. You know, turkey is about the same as they were last year, but beef is absolutely through the roof. You know, I keep talking about my rib roast. I look forward to the sale every year. It used to be about, I think it started off at like $3.99 a pound, and now we've worked our way up to this year, all the shops by me are about $7.99 a pound. And it's really just unrealistic for most people who have a big family that they're looking to feed these days. I don't understand how they could afford it. But, you know, Trump telling the DOJ, the antitrust division, to go look into it and see why beef prices haven't come down. But people aren't really feeling the cut at the checkout line these days at the grocery stores. It seems to be significantly high still. What do you make about the inflation issue, though?
So people think that prices are a problem. And when you poll on them, it's always number one. And they say, oh, it's affordability crisis. But you have to use the polling to go into a deeper root cause. And it's things like, well, 75% of voters under 40 think housing prices is a crisis. And a significant chunk of them think they'll never own a house. And, you know, the employment situation and all these other things that and so when Donald Trump and his administration look at the polling and say prices and then take it quite literally, in my opinion, that's not the winning play, because we're talking about systemic change. And we all know deep down that our system loves inflation. And so just stopping it means it's like, okay, well, you've contained the house fire to like one room, but your house is still burning down, right? And so you can maybe lower grocery prices somewhat, but the issue is that wages have stagnated for decades and people aren't getting the high-paying jobs because all the jobs have been sent overseas and the corporations buy the houses and all of these other things. There's been wealth hoarding with the fewer and fewer corporations driving the significant chunk of the stock market, and with like 10% of the population owning 93% of the wealth and financial assets. You know, a lot of it's the boomer generation has hoarded a lot of wealth. So we did poll on inflation, and it is a big issue. But in that very same poll, is the price of gasoline now higher or lower than it was 6 months ago? Now, gasoline is objectively significantly cheaper than it was. We all know that, right? But only 33% of the country says higher, and 33% of the country says higher, 29% says lower, 33% says about the same. Well, and so here's the situation. The average American only spends 2% of their income on gasoline. And so you can objectively lower the price of gasoline, but you haven't gotten any credit for it because there's still an affordability crisis caused by corporatism and the uniparty global homo kleptocracy, essentially, you know, this oligarchy. Yeah. I can throw as many words as I need to at this problem. We all know that there's a major problem and the Republican Party is part of it. And so if the Republican Party can't fix this, the Democrat Party will. You already see Alyssa Slotkin out there talking about the housing price crisis. Well, my feeling from talking in the White House is that they kind of want to keep housing prices high. They don't want to endanger that valuation that a lot of Trump supporters have built in their homes. And if the right's not going to go there, the Democrats are going to come up with a big government solution because they're the party of big government and also corporations. Yeah. So drastic change. I don't know how hard this is. The polling said it. We polled back in the fall. What do voters want? Massive change. What do they not want? Business as usual in Washington, D.C. It's like an 80-20 thing. They just have to deliver on that. And, you know, they're not going to.
Yeah. I mean, Mark, the growing demographic here is the one that probably is going to be voting for cheaper housing in the next big upcoming election. And so we hope that they make that a top priority for themselves. Mark Mitchell, thanks for all the incredible work you do. We appreciate it, folks. If you're not following him already, I don't know what you're waiting on. Head on over to X and give him a follow at Honest Pollster. The White House relies on you. We all rely on you, Mark. So thank you for your time. Of course, we appreciate it.
Great to be here. It was awesome you had that shoe on head video. That's great. I know. Good
it
job,
was,
Brianna.
It was right on deck. I saw this one this morning. I couldn't stop laughing. So it was a great timing, Mark. Thank you. All right, folks, I want to remind you to head on over to galaxyjonesstore.com because we're getting our Black Friday sale on a little bit earlier. So head on over to the shop. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements, plus 25% off on apparel. Head on over to galaxyjonesstore.com right now and get your Christmas shopping started a little sooner before it's too late.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensation that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I've read online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.